So stand your feet with me. Let's welcome the man of God.
How you turn this one on?
Well, we're going to start tonight and see what happens. Praise God. But I'm going to talk on the shift. There's a shift taking place. America's about ready to shift one more time back to God. Come on now. That's what God showed me. I mean, he showed me in my spirit. He said, there's a shift coming. And that shift is going to release what needs to be released. There's a change of wind. The wind that's been against us is going to get behind us. So literally, get your sails out. And there is a shift coming back to America. And especially this month is a very important month to pray. Pray for protection. Pray for the election. But a shift is coming. And we better be ready to shift with God. Come on now. You know, the flow with Him. I'm grateful that we can have meetings with God, not just about Him. Most churches have meetings about God. He doesn't have to show up, and with what they preach, He probably won't. You know, if He did, He'd probably get kicked out. That's probably why He's not there. Come on now. But so many people understand, people were designed for accomplishment. You were engineered for success. And you were endowed with the seeds of greatness on the inside of you. Literally, you were fearfully, you were wonderfully made. You were created for good works before the foundation of the world. One of the things God told me the shift is God says, I'm going to shift people into into the grace I put on the inside of them. Literally, each one of you was programmed before the foundation of the world, and literally, you're carrying an answer to someone else's problem. And as we each manifest the grace, and the last day's revival will be a faceless revival. It's going to be a different revival other than the face of Jesus. It's going to be different than every other revival in the past because most of them were personality driven. Most of them, like Brother Roberts, you know, people of tremendous, and God showed me, He said, those days are over. He said, this one is going to be different because He said, I'm going to make this a body revival. Come on now, where the entire body is going to be doing it. The entire body is going to be doing it. Where literally the enemy, see, if it's just a few, the enemy can try to pick them off. Come on now, through social media, especially nowadays and stuff. That's why it's almost impossible to do it. Because, you know, if you're on top, then basically lies will be told, half-truths. Come on. But if the whole body is doing things, and as the whole body begins to flow in what they're called to do, as every one of us literally releases the grace on the inside of us, the fullness of Christ will be manifest. And one of the things God told me, He said, tell my people, I'm giving them permission to be themselves. Come on now. Because the problem is, you are all born unique. And most of us will die a copy. That's sad. It's sad because you'll never be able to manifest part of your uniqueness is what's needed. Your greatness is in your uniqueness. I want you to understand what I'm saying here because if we can get back to this thing, the problem with most of the churches, we try to produce clones. Everybody the same. Everybody the same. Conform to the image of religion instead of conform to the image of Christ. And part of conforming to the image of Christ is literally being all you can be. Even Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He didn't say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me being trying to be somebody else. He said, the reason the Spirit of the Lord's upon me is on me. Come on now. When you are you, you're the most anointed. Come on now. See, we're going to get into this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to have so much fun today. It'll be enough fun for all of us, praise God. Because one of the things we are doing right now is we're releasing people to be who they are. We're releasing literally, you know, basically, and many times God wants to introduce you to you so you can be you. Because you really don't know you until you meet him. Think about that. Back in the, I remember, you know, when we were growing up, that there was the saying, I'm trying to find myself. All these people were trying to find yourself. I said, man, you're there. Just look in the mirror. You're there. But what they should have been trying to find God, because if you find God, you'll find yourself. Come on now, because your true self was made to be in him. Come on now. So when you find him, he introduces you to you so you can be you. Come on. Does this make sense? Genesis 1 verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So we must be understand, you know, you are made in the image of God. You know, God is a creator. Guess what? He put creativity inside of you because you're made in that image. God is a dreamer. So he literally put a dreamer on the inside of you. In fact, you know, verse 28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. The first command was the command to this, to a seed. You are the seed of God. You're the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of God. And literally, God wants to plant you. And as you die to you're basically resisting what's on the inside, and you live from the inside out, that what's in the inside begins to come out, then you don't die alone. Come on now. You multiply yourself, and even when you leave this earth, you're still here in a sense. There's a legacy behind. Understand that. And literally, God, you know, the problem with most people is they die before they ever live. But see, you know, 3/4 of the word seed is the word seed. In every one of you, there's a vision. See, God doesn't want you back in seed form. He wants to harvest. Every tree seed has the ability to be a forest. Come on now. He doesn't want you back. Hey, that's why it says, and this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Why? Because there's not a human being alive today that's not carrying much fruit in seed form. You already have the capacity. God placed it in you before you ever were born. Come on, somebody. You're going to get something tonight, whether you like it or not. I started thinking about all the weird people I knew growing up. I love weird people. I like Philip. He's one of the weirdest ones I've ever met. And I like Philip, you know, dressed. I don't know what color white are you going to wear today? But I like that. But I like unique people. And I started thinking, and I've told this story before, but this is what it's all about. All the people I thought, you know, growing up, one of my friends was a science geek. I remember when he was 11 years old, his parents bought him a $25 chemistry set. Now, he's my age, so that was an expensive chemistry set back then, you know. And he was such a genius. And you got to understand, so most people made fun of his uniqueness. You know, in other words, you know, most kids didn't know how to tolerate him. You know, I understand that because I have a kid like that, you know. But, you know, you almost have to guard the gift. People try to take it away from you, think it's uncool. Why? Because, you know, the world system doesn't want anyone to be outstanding. Stand out. Come on now. And your uniqueness makes you stand out. In that area, you stand, and that's when you're needed the most, is when you stand out. Come on now. And you know, mediocre people are always at their best. Well, this guy, when he got his chemistry set, he just put the chemicals together, mixed them together, and blew up half his house. 5,000 square feet of home. He had a 10,000 square feet house. We grew up in Scarsdale, New York, a very wealthy community in the suburbs of New York City. And my dad and I would drive me to school, and I'd go by, and we'd stare at half the house because the other half was gone. And I'd always say, genius. He's a genius. And the amazing thing is the blast didn't kill him, and then his parents didn't kill him afterwards. So I was flying into New Jersey on one of my friend's jets. You know, I got a chance, you know, when he's not using it, he would sometimes send the jet, the pilot, to take me places. And I went to Newark, New Jersey. I got off the jet. I'm looking. Someone else is coming down off the other jet, and he recognizes me because I haven't changed other than the mustache in all these years. And he looks over at me. He said, Woody Woodson. And I recognized the voice. I said, David, is that you? He said, yes. I said, do you remember when you blew up half your house? You know, he said, yeah. He said, you want to know something funny? You got to understand, I always want to know something funny. I always do. I think everything's funny. It's a really bad trait. It is. I mean, I'll laugh at everything. I mean, it's like, you know, I do funerals and I roast the guy. I mean, you know, I tell every funny story I can tell in church. Come on. Why? You know, and I never do funerals of unbelievers. Now, you know, I'm not a pastor. I don't have to. You know, I'm not here. We're here to celebrate the going to hell of so-and-so. It just doesn't work for me. But if someone I know is born again, it's a celebration. So, you know, I'm gonna roast them because the shell's there and nuts gone anyway. So we're okay, you know. And this guy said, you want to know something funny? I said, yes. He said, you want to know what I do for a living? And I said, yeah, just tell me. He said, I'm the head chemist for Dow Chemical. He said, I have my own building, can't blow it up. Well, I realized that guy was programmed. He was programmed before the foundation of the world with a gift that wasn't just his. It was to bless humanity. I had another friend that he was the original Star Trekkie before Star Trek. He would walk through the high school and talking to himself, you know. And we've all had kids like that. And he almost had to sign them like, hit me, hit me. The reason I befriended him is I love to fight. It's one of my, I mean, it's my pastime. I love to fight. I honestly, it's not nice, but I love to fight. My parents said when I was born, the doctor slapped me, I slapped him back. I don't know if that's true or not. But my only regret is when I was growing up, I don't know how to ice skate because hockey was perfect for me. But I love fighting. So when I saw everyone picking on them, I thought, I'll use my gift for good. I'll bully the bullies. So literally, I did, man. I mean, everyone stopped picking on him because they kept getting whooped. And I became friends with him. Well, he was into, you know, astronomy. I always have to get it right because it wasn't demonic. it was the star things. And he could tell me about all the galaxies and all the star. And he was fascinating. And I love people in their zone, even if I don't understand a word they say. When it's in their zone, it's special to me. And, you know, one of my goals is to get everyone in their zone because they're happiest in their zone. In their zone, they may work hours upon hours, but it's not work when it's in the zone. See, what you got to understand something. What you are called to manifest is really who you are. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace did not prove to be, you know, futile. It caused me to work harder than you all. That's what I found out is when you're in your zone, it's not work. It's something that you know, people will ask me, they say, how do you travel the way you travel? I have pastors a lot of times say, I could never keep your schedule. I said, that's right. Don't try. You would be 6 feet under doing what I do. You know why? Because you're not graced to do it. And, you know, if I was doing what you're doing, other people would be 6 feet under because during counseling sessions, we might take them out. So, no, just kidding, sort of. I would offend a lot of people real quick, though. This is what it says now. Do it. Get out of here. But next. Come on now. And I still think that's the right way of approaching it, but you have to learn how, when to be real gentle with people and when to be direct. It's the art. Come on now. So, you know, but this guy, you know, when he did all that stuff, I'll never forget because, you know, my son loves, that's one of his hobbies. He loves astronomy. In fact, we have a telescope that you can put any star in the universe. If you know its name and put it in the computer, the telescope automatically locates it. It's an expensive toy. You know, we were going to buy the Hubble. It wasn't fixed yet. But I buy Joey books because he always is reading. And I bought him some astronomy books. And the back of one of the books, there's my friend. One of the leading astronomers in America. I started getting, you know, sometimes if you see a pattern, come on. It starts sticking with you. See, what I'm telling you, woe unto you unless you do the thing you're called to do. It's called resisting grace when you don't manifest. Impression without expression leads to depression. So when we don't do what we were born to do, see, some people, if you're a singer, you have to sing. If you're a dancer, you have to dance. If you're a comedian, you have to be funny. If you're not, don't try. Come on now. But each one of you, you have something you got to do. If you're a writer, you have to write. Because if you don't do it, it's really a part of your DNA. So you're denying yourself and you're denying the world the real you. Because the real you is a gift. Come on, somebody. Am I helping somebody? And I remember, you know, when I was at Victory, and I'm back at Victory now, you know, we were part of the foundation of the church, and it was a great church. But we had a youth pastor one time, and he was not a great youth pastor. He's a good friend of mine, but not a great youth pastor. But he was the best poster drawer. Have you ever been around doodlers? I'd get around him, he'd be drawing, 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 drawing. He couldn't stop drawing. In fact, Pastor Billy Joe, when he was alive, Billy Joe Daugherty, told me, sit him down, make him stop drawing. I said, David, look at me. He drew a picture of me. You couldn't make him stop doodling. So when we had layoffs, he was one of the first to go. But years later, when we bought VeggieTales, I love VeggieTales. I love Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber. If you have kids, you understand that. If you don't, I just love it. I mean, I still buy them. It's for me now. You know, it's really my intellectual capacity. But at the very end of one of the VeggieTales, my son was watching. At the very end, the guy comes on, and he starts talking about how it's made. And there is David Pitts, my friend. He's drawing the cucumber. He's drawing the tomato. He's talking about how VeggieTales is made. He was the producer of VeggieTales, which literally reached millions of people. God made David to doodle. And I tried to steal the doodle out of David. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what I found out is literally, if I stole the doodle, he wasn't good unless he was doodling. It's what he was created to do. Doodle. I started thinking about Yankee Doodle Dandy. If he didn't have a doodle, would he have been a dandy? I don't think so. And be honest with you, what happens is people try to steal your doodle. What would Paul say? This one thing I doodle. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. In fact, God told me I need to activate doodle. But literally, if the whole earth, if we would all release our doodle, the whole earth would be filled with knowledge of the glory of God. As the waters cover the sea. We're already got it. We got it. We got it. We got it on the inside. It has to be released. There's a creativity. Come on. And what has to happen is we need to shift into our grace. Each of us is programmed differently. You know, people ask me about my son. They said, when did you know that he was a genius? Well, probably when he first started talking, he could read. That was indication. You know, The second indication to me that really it was the defining moment for me is when he was just turned three and he walked into the bedroom and my wife and I, you know, we're groggy. And he said, "Daddy, you want to know how many seconds are in a year?" And he throws out this huge number, and I laugh. It was impressive that a kid knew that huge number, you know, regardless. So I asked him, I said, "How did you get that?" And I thought he was going to, you know. And he said, it's simple, Daddy, 60 seconds in a minute. I said, "That's right. 60 minutes an hour, that's 60 times 60, right, Dad?" I said, "Yeah." "Times 24? 24 hours in a day? Times 365? Now, this is not leap year I'm talking about." He said, and he threw out the number, and he did it all in his head. He's 3 years old. Typical three-year-old. I started realizing he programmed different. He programmed different. Come on now. But when you see that difference, you got to feed it. You feed it. You feed it. Let's celebrate each other's differences. Come on now. You know, let's allow each of us to be our unique self. Come on. Because you're much better that way. And see, what God began to show me is if we will tap into our grace, we will start reigning in life. Romans 5:17 says, "Because of the gift of righteousness, but through the grace, you reign in this life." So literally, you reign in your realm. You reign in your realm. So if you never get in your realm, you'll never reign. Your gift or your grace will make room for you. You let your light shine, not someone else's light. You let your light shine, you know. And you know, my son, he laughs. He said, he's never ever, everyone knocks at his door. He said, "Daddy," he said, "Joseph had a dream. They found him in prison. He didn't have to knock on doors. Just had to develop his gift." He took a test this year, and you know, I'm a proud papa, but my latest bragging rights. But he took a test this year that Microsoft gives the top computer people in all the universities, and most of them are teams, you know, almost every university. In fact, Wash U, where my son goes, he actually teaches and goes there at the same time. But, you know, they had a team, and he was going to be part of it, and he thought about it. He said, "No, I want to see what I can do by myself." So he called them up. They said, "Well, you can do it by yourself, but you're going to go against teams from MIT, teams from all that." And he said, "No one ever does well on their own." He said, "I just want to see what I can do just by myself." And he actually tied for the highest score ever, you know, which got everyone's attention real fast. But the bottom line is that's his zone. That's his zone. That's his zone. Everyone has his zone. Come on now. See, when you're outstanding in your zone, come on. You know, and when you get in your zone, it's not just for you. It's for other people. See, that's why we reign through the Deuteronomy 28:13. The shift is going to come as we begin to operate in our grace. Recognize it, operate in it. Recognize with the thing we do and operate in it. And literally, God wants it. If we'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God, if we allow God to show us our grace and literally allow God to use us in that, you're going to be the head and not the tail. And how many people understand life looks better from the head? And life smells better from the head. When life stinks, you just need to be flipped. You know, you got the wrong side up, baby. Come on now. See, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God's going to exalt us. God wants to exalt the righteous. But if the righteous are not operating in grace, he can't exalt them. Come on. If we're not expecting things, because a set time of favor is coming, I believe God is going to begin to breathe in our direction again. Habakkuk 3:2, and my wife says, "Habakkuk." I said, "It's Habakkuk." Habakkuk. I said, now you're going to tell me Malachi's Malachi. Come on now. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. It's Malachi. I mean, Malachi to you, but Malachi to me. That's how I got a lot of my Italian friends saved. Come on now. If Malachi says it, it must be true. That's why Italians don't ever argue about tithing. Come on. But Habakkuk 3:2 says God's going to begin to revive us in the midst, revive the work in the midst of the years. God's about ready to breathe on some stuff again. Breathe on some stuff. There's a shift coming. There's a shift coming. There's a shift. It's the whole atmosphere is going to shift. Why? Because God's going to accelerate things. And see, when you drive sports cars, if you drive, the faster the car, the more the gears. The way you gain acceleration is by shifting. Come on now. There's a shift to a whole different level. There's a shift coming to a level we have never, in fact, the world has never experienced before. Come on. Why? You got to understand that the former, the latter rain coming together, we're going to begin to enter into other people's labors. This generation, you got to understand something. Our generation, every prayer that was prayed in the will of God, that has not been manifest yet from every generation is literally going to be fulfilled in the last generation. Think about that. All that has not been manifest, but that was according to the will of God. That's why all the saints long to be in the generation that's the last. See, when God breathes, doors open. No's turn to yeses. Suddenlies take place. A shift that will come in your health, your finances, your relationships. And the enemies that you've seen in the past, you'll never have to see them again forever. I believe there's coming a shift out of debt. We had that shift a long time ago. We're grateful for that. I've had the giant's head of debt on my wall for a long time. I've had the giant's head of diabetes on my wall for a long time. 7 generations, it stopped here. Come on now. You know, I believe, you know, well, you know, God will, how many people are saying God will set up the enemy? He'll lead you into the Red Sea. He'll lead you into miracle land. Egyptian army behind you, Red Sea in front of you, and the very reason the enemy's sending all his troops is he thinks there's no way out for you. And God will make a way where there is no way, not only to get you to the other side, but to destroy that particular enemy forever. The enemy who you see today, you'll never see again forever. That's what he told Moses. Come on now. I love it when we don't have to face certain giants because you cut its head off. If you knock it down, you have to face it again. But if you cut its head off, you won't have to face that one again. Come on now. See, God wants to get you out, get the church out of the natural into the supernatural. Deuteronomy 1:11 says God wants to increase you 1,000 times more. Think about that. 1,000 times more. See, well, I love addition. I love it when God adds daily to the church. I've been in situations. I've also been in situations of multiplication. You know, I was on the groundwork of Victory Christian. I'll never forget Victory Christian Center. When we first started, we had, well, actually, when Sheridan Assembly, we had 200 people to begin with. The end of the year, we had 2,500. That was not normal growth. That was supernatural acceleration. Come on, I believe we're coming into a supernatural acceleration. And what God's saying is take the limits off. Take the limits off. He'll do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you ask or think. But take the limits off. And you know, ask God actually for what you desire and not what you need. That's one of the biggest problems I see. I mean, I ran into that recently. You know, we were buying a new car. You know, for the ministry, I've rented for years, but I decided to buy one this time. And I honestly, you know, I looked at my bank account. I pay cash on everything. I said, well, Corolla, I guess. Because I didn't want to get, I want to get something new. I didn't want to use because of the number of miles I put on. I don't take any chances that someone, it's a messed up thing. And, you know, my wife said, do you really want that? I even had God tell me that. He said, well, you know why you aren't grateful at times? Because you asked me for what you need, and you didn't really want it. So when you get it, you're not that grateful you have it. He said, most of my kids, they're asking me for what they can afford, not what I can afford. So, my wife said, what do you really want? Well, I said, I want a sunroof for sure, because I feel locked in. I like sunroofs no matter what. In the middle of the winter, it may be 20 below out. I go, wherever I am, I still have the sunroof up. I just feel closed in without it. I just, And I said, that's important to me. I want something a little bit larger. And I remember I went on the lot and I was looking at the Corolla because it was in the price range. And the guy came on by prayed, just like my wife said too. The guy comes over to me. He said, he said, you really want this car? And I felt like saying, no. But I'd probably take it. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I love that. He brings me over, and in fact, the car's out there. It's a Camry XLE with the sunroof. And he said, I can give you. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'll give you this car for that price. I said, yes, you will. But every time I sit in the car, thank you, Jesus. I mean, it's not hard for me to be grateful for that. Come on, the other one, But, and too many times, how many of you understand God wants to stretch us? See, the back wages are coming in. All the back wages, when Israel left Egypt, there's a transfer of wealth coming. That's why the system is failing, so God can get stuff back in the hands of the righteous. Understand that. One of the things you got to understand is that the system is going to fail, but not God's system. And literally, he said, I want to make sure that the church gets the back wages it's been owed. Come on now. And he said, there's going to be the greatest healing revival and the greatest transference of wealth before we leave the earth. We're not going to leave broke. And we're not going to leave sick. And God is coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle and not one feeble among them. Come on now. So hold on. And in the midst of the shift, God's going to make up for all the wasted years. God told me, he said, payday's coming. Payday's coming. He's not unjust to forget your labor of love. One of my favorite candy bars is Payday. It's not that I even enjoy the bar as much as the name. But I love having it on Payday's coming. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's not going to be denied. And you must begin to understand something, that no man can stop the will of God in your life. No man. And even people, they may delay it. They can't deny it. If you'll hold on, it'll turn out just like he said. If you'll hold on, that's the great. We need to take courage. He had to wake Moses. He had to wake Joshua up and Caleb and say, "Hey, stop staring at the corpse. Moses is dead. How long are you gonna stick around? The land, I told you, the land is yours. Now go get it. Only be strong." Only be courageous, and no man will be able to stand in front of you. No man can stop you. I'm here to tell you, no man can stop you. No circumstance can stop you. Nothing can stop you but you. Come on now. Because if God told you that he's going to do it, the only thing that will stop you is your lame excuses. And one of the things that will stop you is you living in disappointment. Think about that. Martha, Mary, they were talking. And you know, after Lazarus died, both of them saw Jesus at separate locations, separate times. John chapter 11. One came up and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Most of us have felt that way. If you had been here, the marriage would have been saved. If you had been here, there wouldn't have been this tragedy. If you had been there, my business would have made it. You know, Jesus kind of walks down and goes through that one. Next sister comes. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus had enough by that time. And he said, tell me where you laid him. He said this, take me to the spot where you stopped believing. Take me to the spot where you stopped believing. Took him to a grave, because normally that's where... See, the problem is many of us, we have our own personal graveyards. They're the disappointment places where something we cared about died, and part of us died in it. What Jesus said, if you will believe, I'll show you the glory of God. I'll reveal. If you'll believe, you'll see it. You'll see the glory of God. Jesus, sometimes, you know, people say God's not late. Sometimes he purposely is. Sometimes he wants to reveal himself as healer. If he had showed up when Lazarus was sick, he had to heal him. So he waited purposely until Lazarus was dead because he wanted to reveal himself as the resurrection. Come on. Sometimes some of the things in our life, they look dead, but God, the power of resurrection about ready to hit it. Dreams where we thought it's past its time and God's going to wake us up and said, the deal's still on. Come on now. If you'll believe the gifts and callings of God without repentance, if you believe, does this make sense? In Habakkuk 12:12, it says, weaken the feeble knees. And it says that the limb that's out of joint may be put back in. You know, most of the body of Christ is out of joint. It's out of place. That's what out of joint means. When you're not operating your grace, you're out of joint. You know, when you get a bad attitude, you get out of joint. Come on. You know, I played pro ball, it's funny, like, because I preached last night and I had several pro ball players there last night. Baseball players, so it's pretty cool. They came on in. But, you know, a lot of times I'd have my finger would get dislocated because I fought so much, I broke most of my fingers, and sometimes if I caught the ball wrong, that finger would, get dislocated. And I would feel pain, and it didn't feel too bad until took the glove off and saw the bone looking at you, and you think, that's not good. That's got to hurt. So then all of a sudden, ah! So time out. So I would call the trainer out, and the trainer would say, look the other way, and he would just snap it back into place, and throw a little tape on it or spit on it or something like that and say, hey, you're breathing, you can play. It's just the way it was. What I found out is most people are like Moses. You know, God shows up to Moses, tries to get him back into his grace. Get him back into the call of God on his life. He was called to be a deliverer. He tried to do it in the flesh, but he heard right. I mean, God shows up in the burning bush. I thought it was amazing. Moses goes over. The bush is on fire. It's talking to him. If a bush is talking to me and says, take off my shoes, they're off, baby. Come on now. A bush on fire talking to me? But, you know, when God starts talking to Moses, it's amazing. He argues with the bush. Think about that. You know, crazy. He's arguing with a bush. God said, I've called you to be a deliverer. He said, who am I? That's part of the problem. We don't know who we are. If we knew who we were, come on. Moses forgot who he was. What did God say? I'll be with you. Then he said, okay, who are you? Thought I knew you last time. That's why I'm here back in the wilderness. I didn't know you well enough to get the job done. He said, I am that I am. Everything you're not, I am. He said, what's in your hand? How many people understand? God, all of us, most people talk about what they don't have. God always asks you what you do have. What's in your hand? He said, oh, this stupid shepherd's rod, stick, whatever. He said, throw it down. When he threw it down, out came a snake. Because it was the rod of Moses before, and anything you own is cursed. Anything God owns is blessed. God never called you to be an owner. He called you to be a steward. Think about that. You want to know if you're an owner or a steward? When God asks you for something, if you have trouble giving it, you're an owner. Because you have no problem giving away other people's stuff. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what God showed me about that rod of God, it became the rod of God, did all the miracles. But this is what the Lord told me. He said, you know, one of the reasons why the body of Christ doesn't move in the supernatural is they forget they're still just a stick. They get impressed with themselves. Look what I did. Look what I did. I met people before they were big-time ministers. They were nice. But some of them, honestly, they're so arrogant, it's ruined them. And it bothers me. Because God never wants you to be impressed with you. One of the things I love about my son, because God has given him a lot of success at an early age, and he's the least impressed with himself as anyone I've ever been around. He said, Daddy, he said, if it's a gift, what's the big deal? If God gave me the gift, who should get the glory? And he said, part of the problem is I go around all these smart people who don't even know God yet, and they're so arrogant about it, and I have to, and they say, and they get upset because I'm not impressed with them at all. I said, Daddy, they're just a stick. Come on. You're just a stick. And part of it is you must know that even as a stick of God, there are times you flow in the supernatural, but then you have to go back to the natural. Or you're going to be out of balance. God don't want you spooky spiritual all the time, but there are moments, come on. There are moments, it's your time. You use your gift. You can split the Red Sea, do whatever you want. I mean, come on. Raise the dead, do whatever. Then you go back to being a normal human being until the next time the kingdom has to be manifest. Come on now. So there's a balance in the whole thing, because you get out of balance, you get weirded. And, come on. Understand that. Does this make sense? And how many of you understand God uses the least likely people? I believe God uses misfits. Misfits many times are people who stood out. They're different. So they didn't fit. See, the only place misfits fit are in the body of Christ. Because literally their uniqueness does not fit in this world. Their uniqueness fits in the plan of God. Come on now. So God doesn't use many wise, many mighty, many, come on. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He calls David, who was the least likely of all of Jesse's sons. Jesse wouldn't even show him to the prophet. Show me your sons. He showed everyone except for David. The prophet had to say, "Don't you have any more boys? I thought I heard from God. I know I heard from God." He said, yeah, I didn't want to bring that guy in. And, David probably came skipping in, and the prophet said, oh, you got to be kidding. God said, that's him! That's him! I mean, when he wants to raise up a deliverer, where does he find? He tries to find a scared kid hiding in a wine press from the enemy. Yeah, there's the deliverer. He literally invades the space, and he said, "Hey, valiant warrior, get in, valiant warrior." He looked around the man, chicken little, God said, "Valiant warrior." He said, "Chicken little, come on." God, you know, God, it's amazing how he doesn't ever hear any of our excuses. He never does. And you know what's amazing is when God introduced Gideon to Gideon, and it only took a day or two for him to grasp it, because it didn't take long for him to deliver a whole nation. One revelation can change everything. One revelation. I'm telling you, the wind's changing. The wind's changing. Remember in Numbers 11, verse 23. Where the children of Israel complained like they always did in the wilderness. And they say, "Well, you know, we don't have any food to eat." And Moses looked at the surroundings, and he came to God, and he said, "God, where are we going to get the food? There's no food here." And the Lord says, "Is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything, or is my power limited?" Then verse 31, I love what it says. He said, God caused the wind to change. God caused, I'm telling you, there's a shift. God caused the wind to change, and quail was blown in. God caused, he's causing the wind to change. There's a shift coming. He's causing the wind to change. The wind that's been against us is going to get behind us. And we're going to make up for a lot of lost ground. Come on now. We're going to make up for the wasted year, because there's a shift in the wind. There's a mighty rushing wind. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's by the Spirit of God. And literally, we have an army together. All we got to do is prophesy to the wind. The problem is not the fact we don't have an army. The problem is that literally the army has no wind to move. We're prophesying, Holy Ghost, come on, come on, come on. And see, when the wind begins to change, literally the whole atmosphere changes, because it blows in the clouds, an abundance of rain. And God opens up the windows of heaven, and I hear the breakthrough of many waters, many waters, many waters. Every time there's a breakthrough, it's always, if there's harvest or breakthrough, it's always overflow. It's always overflow. It's always Jordan overflows its banks all the days of harvest. It's always God opens up the windows of heaven. It's always, why? Because God knows that we're not supposed to have any more dry seasons. Come on now. And we are actually carrying the water with us. Out of our belly will flow rivers. And the devil can't swim. When demons are cast out, they always look for dry places, dry places, dry places. I want to find no dry places, no dry places, no dry places. Come on, you better learn how to swim, devil, swim, devil, swim, devil. Ha ha, you're about ready to get flooded. When the enemy comes in, God has a flood for him. Something's beginning to change. Come on. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? See, God said, he said, if you would just know we're coming into a time where you plant with one hand, reap with the other hand. If you would begin to understand he's doing a new thing. You know, we must shift in. Shift into your grace. Some of you, God's going to take you back to bring you forward. He's going to remind you of what used to bring you such joy. Come on. You know, what used to, the thing that you used to dream about, daydream about, flowing, come on now. And creativity is going to begin to flow once again. We're meeting with people all over. I'm meeting with, you know, movie producers, the ball players, of people from every arena. Why? Because God's going to, he's going to begin to raise up. When the righteous rule, the city rejoice. And the only way the righteous can rule is through their grace. So when the righteous are operating in the grace of God, it gives them the favor of God to rule and to reign. It even gives them favor with unbelievers because they need that grace. Joseph had a dream. It wasn't just for Israel. It wasn't even just for God's people. It was also for unbelievers that God still had compassion on. And the same dream kept alive Egypt and kept alive Israel at the same time. Come on. Big. This is big, church. You know, God's asking, you know, what do you have in your house? Begin to think of the thing that gives you greatest joy. You know? If my wife doesn't write, she gets frustrated. She has to write. It's in her. You know, it's funny because she said she wrote her first book when she was 7. So no one else read it but her parents. But she did it, and she saw herself. She met herself. She met herself in a dream. See, the Bible says when God turns our captivity, we're like those who dream again. That's our dream world. You're God's dream seed. You're part of God's dream team. Then your mouth is filled with laughter. Why? Because you're beginning to express what's on the inside. God meant for it to be expressed all the time, and it brings you great joy and satisfaction. And it says, then the heathen will say, the Lord has done great things for them. When the heathen see you living the dream, come on. That's God's word. That's God. You know, my wife, as you know, she never stopped writing, never has. You know, wrote for Oral, wrote for, you know, it was Tulsa World. She's always writing. It's just part of her. I was in Pennsylvania several years ago. Teenage girl, she was 13 at the time. I said, stand up. And she was a shy little thing. I said, come up here. I said, you know, people think you're shy. They think you're pulled back. They don't understand. I said, I don't understand this, but I said, I see you with a pad and pencil. I said, God placed tremendous, tremendous expression that comes, not verbally, but in the written word. And I said, your writing will be read and literally experienced by multitudes. I said, you've got books on the inside of you, girl. Write them. She was 13 at the time. Next year when I came back, she gave me her first novel. It was already published. This year she gave me her second novel. She's not even 16 yet. She was from a poor family with not much of a future in the natural. Now she's no longer poor, nor is her family poor, because her book has sold so many copies. And she had no problem with universities opening up their doors to her. Her gift, 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 her gift. Oh, you know, son, say you're hidden to be revealed. You're hidden to be revealed. God hid something in you that needs to be revealed. Come on now. He hid it to protect it until the right season. But it's the right season has come. It's the fulfillment of every vision. It's time to tap into the grace and release what's on the inside of us. Some of us, it's just time. If someone stole your doodle, they couldn't steal it because the gifts and doodles of God are without repentance. But what they can do, they did silence it. It's time to fan it back into flame. It's time to do it. Every one of you, you get your uniqueness back. Get your crazy self back. You know what I'm saying? In a good way. I'm not saying the crazy self outside. You know, I was wild before I was saved. I'm still wild. And that's, you know, but now I'm wild for God. Come on now. God didn't change. He changed everything about me, but he didn't change the fiber of me. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? You know, God wants you to be you because he wants to anoint you. Am I helping somebody today? How many of you understand God wants to stir it back up, stir it back up, dream again? And you're never too old and never too young to dream. Live it. Live it. Live the dream. Live in the dream world. Live in your zone. People may think you're crazy, but at least you're happy. Come on now. Come on. Just live in your zone. Live in your zone. Live dreaming, always dreaming, always dreaming. Be just like your father. He's a dreamer. Your father, God, is a dreamer. He says, I'm going to change the world through people who dream with me. Because when they begin to dream, that dream world they enter into is a zone I created them for before the foundation of the world. And he said, not only will it change their life, but it will change the world. You know what I'm saying? Our zone changes the world where we are created for good. Think about that. Created before the foundation of the world to do good works. Every one of you is created to manifest something good. Come on now. And I want you manifesting. I want the manifestation of the sons of God. I want the manifestation of the abundant grace of God. I want to activate some grace right now. That's what I want to do. I've given you permission to be you. And some of you, you know, how many of you say, man, I want, you know, how many of you want to be more like you than you're being? You hear what I'm saying? It's almost like, hey, I've almost denied who I am because I was trying to conform. And God said, hey, I'm not asking you to, I'm asking you to rebel against society, not against God. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? And, you know, we're giving you permission to be you. Be you. You know, be you, the righteous you. You know what I'm saying? The righteous you. Not the sinful you. No, but the righteous you. But we're giving you permission. Come on. Come on. Because you're carrying something. And if you want prayer, just for that to be even more activated, I want to pray for you right now. We've prayed for the sick earlier. You know, we got that covered. If you need another covering, I'll pray for you down that too. But right now, how many of you say, man, I want my gift. I want that grace to be even more manifest in my life. I want to get in my zone and stay there. I want my zone to be a blessing to others. I want my zone. Come on. You know, I want to get back to my, I'm tired of being a copy. I want to be an original. I want to get back to my God's original plan, which meant that we're individually very original, but when we join our individuality together, it manifests the fullness of Christ. So if you want prayer, come on up. I want to pray for you. Something's about ready to break in this place. There's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming. Come on, you wild things, you.